Okay, I'm really excited about this series we've been doing. I've never really preached about Jabez before, to my knowledge, but God just kind of spoke it into my spirit there at the first of the year. And, you know, we're talking about the concept of more, you know, having more in our life. And I believe, you know, it's not about getting greedy. You know, we want to make sure we don't have that. But, you know, if we have more resources, we can do more things. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but I have in my life walked up to a situation where somebody had need and my resources were limited where I could not fulfill that need, you know, even though I wanted to. But there's other times in my life when I've really tapped into the things of God and then I've been able to help a lot of people. And that's really what my goal is. So today we're going to look at the subject of influence, and you know, whether we want to accept it or not or understand it, we're all people of influence. You don't have to be up here on a platform, you know, to be an influencer, you know, especially today, you know, with the social media and all the things we have, you know. No matter where we're at, we're influencing others. Like a mom, she's influencing her kids and hopefully the dad too. You know, so we're all making an impact somewhere. But what I found out in my life is that we need to be intentional about the impact, you know, that we have on the world around us. Because everything we do gets a response. Has anybody ever had a response on Facebook that you didn't see coming? You know what I'm saying? You might have posted something just out of the spur of the moment and wham, you're just attacked. You know, that influence that you had, you know, rubbed people the wrong way. Now, I'm not opposed to rubbing people the wrong way all the time, you know. I mean, sometimes it just happens. But God's been really dealing with me that I want to rub people the right way. You know what I'm saying? I want to use the powers that God's given me for good and not evil. And I think we all need to come to that conclusion. So what God's talked to me about, especially this year in prayer, is that 2021, you know, we need to make a greater impact, you know, on the world around us. You know, and we need to do that. So 2021 will be a year of more. Our scripture that we look at is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and it's two verses, verse 9 and 10. Brief and amazing. That's the way it needs to be. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not may pain not come to me. And God granted what he requested. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for clarity of speech today, Lord. I thank you for your anointing to be here to break every yoke of bondage on our lives. All those strongholds, all those things in our mind that cause us to think that we have to settle for less. But Lord, I believe that you've called the church for more. And Lord, we need to take a bigger share of this world and bring it into the kingdom. Lord, I pray for eyes to be opened today and ears to be opened. Lord, we thank you that happens when we have an open heart. And Lord, I pray that you do open heart surgery in each of us today, Lord. That you deal with those things that block and hold revelation back in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, and I yield to the gift you've given me in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week we started this, and it was talking about more blessing. Everybody wants more blessing. I hope you do, anyway. And we need to be so that, like I said earlier, we have more resources to be able to help people. Now, we started off just a little bit about Jabez. You know, evidently he was a difficult birth. You know, I know I caused my parents difficulty in my early years a little bit, I don't think I was a real bad birth. I was really small. But anyway, Jabez was born with pain. So his name means pain. So every time somebody would call his name, he was reminded, it was thrown in his face that he was a problem. And sometimes we have to deal with that self-image in ourselves because maybe we see ourselves that way. But Jabez chose, just like you and I need to choose, that we're not going to allow other people to label us. We need to let our heart and our name and everything be justified by what God says about us in His Word and how important that is. So last week we looked at the idea of blessing. Now today we're going to look at the idea of influence. And the first, what Jabez said here, he said, enlarge my border. Enlarge my border. You know, that means he wants to reach out and have more control over more area. And we as Christians need to get that revelation in our mind, because we're going to go into it in a little bit later, but how the world has tried to hem us in. You know what I mean? Tries to hem us in and make us feel that we're inadequate to be able to make change in the world around us. Now, something that Jabez did, and he took it seriously, and I hope you and I do the same thing, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. So he must have had family, just like everybody. And so something that he did, even though he had been labeled as a problem, he had been labeled as his pain, he chose to walk with integrity. And see, integrity is very important. And see, that's something that you and I each need to develop and to work on, that we're, you know, our word is our bond, all these different things, and how we're going to live our life. Because to me, influence starts at home. It's how we are at home. Now, how can you and I ever expect to influence the world around us if we're not even going to try to influence our family? You know, it starts right there. You got to start where you're at. Start by having that influence on your children and, you know, upon your spouse and trying to do things, because, you know, character really matters in our life. You know, what kind of character are we, and what kind of reputation do we have? Now, I do know that, you know, for the most part, we shouldn't care what other people think about us in some ways, but in other ways, we should care what other people think about us. You know, if they call us shifty or thief or, you know, somebody they can't count on, you know, we need to take a gut check, people. You know, we need to turn that around, because we're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, and, you know, in the neighborhood there was people that went to church all the time, some of them. And, you know, some of them were kind of shifty, you know, and you had to watch them. You know, and the thing that was said, you know, they're holy on Sunday, but you got to watch your back on Monday. You know what I'm saying? And we don't need to be people like that, right? See, Jabez wasn't. Even though he had a hard start, he chose to turn it around. And maybe you've had a hard start. Maybe things haven't went your way. Maybe you wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. But you can turn that around by starting to work with God's principles, and that's important. So we need to make sure that our reputation is good in the community, and that starts, you know, are we the same at home also as we are in public? You know, some people be really holy around other people, and then you get them home, you know, that's a rough one. I know my kids used to hate it days that I fasted. You know what I'm saying? I was grouchy. You know what I mean? I mean, they'd hear I'm going to fast on that day, and they go, oh no. They all just kind of skedaddled. You know, they stayed out of the way. My reputation wasn't that good in that area. You know what I'm saying? They kind of, you know, saw a different light. I'm supposed to be doing something really holy, but I was really acting unholy. And so I needed to turn that around. I found this out, and especially growing up and with my kids, we can tell our children what to do, but they usually do what they see us doing. You know what I mean? That's very important. They watch what we do. You know, I remember times my dad told me certain things not to do. Now, there's a few of them, like I've mentioned before, my parents both smoked. I didn't. I hated the smell of it. And my dad said, you know, he's puffing a cigarette, and he blew it in my face, and he says, I don't want you kids to smoke. And I said, no problem. You know? You know, that's not for me. I don't care for it. I just never did. It's just something that wasn't me. Other people, they, you know, they do it, and that's between them and God and themselves, their body, you know. But for me, now, other things my dad told me not to do, I did them, you know, because they were fun. They weren't good, but they were fun sometimes. But I watched what they were doing, and so I did that. See, integrity is important. What I found out is people must believe in you before they will believe you. You know what I mean? The people around you, they must believe in you before they will believe you. So how we act and how we treat them is very important. Now, Jabez knew deep down inside, like probably everybody here probably knows, deep down inside, we probably know that we were made for more, right? I mean, I think we would accept that. No matter where you're at in life, no matter how many things you've done, I mean, for crying out loud, they might have named a building after you already. I don't know. But there's still more. There's more in there, and Jabez knew that, and that's what you and I need to come to the point in our life, because deep down inside, we all know that God has more for you and I. And we want to step out and start to walk in those things. And it's a walk of faith. You know, we have to step out. We didn't really know. I mean, you know, 20-some years ago, I really didn't know what I would be doing, or I'd be doing this, or I'd be doing this here. You know, but just step. After a while, you start to see a pattern. You start to see things develop, and you start to see them materialize in your life. And before you know it, you know, you've made some pretty good strides. So it's that divine dissatisfaction that I talked about last week that we have to have in our heart. We have to have that stirring that we know. See, I'm content with what God's given me. God, I'll be honest, God doesn't have to give me one more thing. Nothing. Because I'm content with what I have. But I know that I know that I know that God has more for me. And it's out there. And it's my responsibility to go get it. You know, some people say, why me? I think we ought to say, why not me? Why not me? I know the voice of God. I know what the Word says. Why not me? And you need to say the same thing. You know, get into God and start to see, we should be seeking the Lord for more responsibility in our life. You know, I know responsibility is a tough word sometimes, but I believe that we need to be seeking God for more responsibility, because the more responsibility we have, the greater impact we can make on the world around us. It's a law of multiplication. Very simple to figure out. You can help one people, or you can help 10 people. You got to start with one, but it's better to help 10. Because those 10 can go help 10, you know what I'm saying? And those other 10 can keep, you know what I'm saying? They can keep going. And so we should be seeking more responsibility. You know, I believe the people of God, we need to be taking the lead in our culture. You know, the world's tried to hem us in, like I said earlier. It's tried to keep us, you know, held back so that we keep our mouth shut. But we need to be taking more responsibility, and we need to be taking the lead in our culture so that we can make a change in what needs to be done in this world. You know, God has called us to be world shapers and not shaped by the world. But it's so easy, isn't it, to let the world shape us? You know, it's so easy to want to fit in and want to blend in. That's why we have to have that transformation process, like I talked about last week a little bit. You know, that little caterpillar crawls all the way through life. But boy, when he gets in that cocoon, it looks like it's all over. It looks like he's graveyard dead. But I'll tell you what, when that baby opens up, he can fly. And see, that's what you and I need to desire. You know, we need to decide that we can soar. Because God's called us to soar. He's called us to rise up above our circumstances. He's called us to be able to, you know, get ahead of the things that's going wrong. You know, like I said, we can either soar or we can settle. It's up to you. A lot of times in my life, I know I've settled. But why? I was tired. I was maybe weary. I didn't take care of my body. I didn't take care of my spiritual life, so I pulled back and tried to, you know, just kind of get by. But I wasn't never happy doing that, because I knew inside I could do better. I knew I could do more. And see, we want to have that divine satisfaction that I want to soar, because what I found out is limited vision means limited influence. If we have a limited vision, it equals limited influence in our life. You know, why should we just settle for just, you know, a small little portion when we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living inside of us? You know, we don't really totally understand the full potential of the God factor in our life. I believe that. We don't really know it totally, because we've never went out into the deep water. That's why I named the church River Life. I want to get out in the river where it's flowing. I want to get out there and start to see where God takes me, where He wants me to go. Yes, it's scary sometimes. I don't understand it all the time. But I'd rather walk by faith than by sight, because I found out when I walk by sight, I usually fail. I usually never accomplish the things that God, you know, has for my life. And so I don't know about you, but I'm preaching to me right now, and it's helping me. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a hunger inside of me that God's been putting in me, and it's stirring up. And you know, the devil better watch out, amen? If we all catch vision with this, that we want to do more damage to his kingdom, and we start to bring more people out of darkness into the light, oh yeah, we're going to get attacked, but I'll tell you what, that's where the action's at. That's where it's at. When we want to lengthen our influence and get out there and start to see change happen in the world around us. But we can't start at the top. Has everybody done that before? You want to start, you know, nobody gets the corner office. You know what I mean? Starting out with all the nice windows. No, you get the cubicle, man. You start, unless you're, you got in there when the getting's good. But a lot of us don't get that. It never happened for me that way. No, I had to start where I'm at. And see, that's where Jabez started. He started with his family. First, he built integrity up in the family, you know, and he was respected by his peers. And then he started to see that, you know, yeah, I can do this. And that's when he knew that he was made for more. And he asked God. See, we'll never influence those 10 until we learn to influence the one. You know, I remember in Bible school, you know, a lot of people have a lot of dreams and desires in Bible school. I remember watching some of them, you know, and they said, well, God's going to call me, and they'd mention the nation. I'm going to shake that nation. They wouldn't even lead a Bible study. They wouldn't even go out and do evangelism. You're not going to change a nation. You can't even change yourself. We have to get started with the one before we'll change the 10. And so start where you're at. Make a difference in somebody's life. You know, I remember a great influencer in my life when I first started out. I think graduated Bible school, and you know, some speaker came to our Bible school, and they were involved with Youth with a Mission. And I've told this story a little bit before, some of it, but one person that made a great impact as an influencer on my life was Brother Andrew, and I believe he's still alive right now. But you know, Brother Andrew was this one man, and he had a car. And what he would do is he would load his car up, and he came from Holland, the Netherlands. He would load his little car up, and he would take Bibles into the Iron Curtain, over into communist areas. One man. One man. He didn't have a big mission board. He didn't have a lot of people with, you know, taking care of him. He just noticed what he could do. He knew the Word of God changed his life. And he knew what it could do in the lives of others. And I believe he was part of the reason the wall came down. You know, God's word going into them communist places, it brings them walls down. Well, Brother Andrew, he would tell his stories, and he would pray when he got to the border, God, blind their eyes. Blind the guard's eyes. Because if they would have found the Bibles in his car, he would have been arrested and put in prison. But every time he was able to make it through the checkpoints. No, I remember something similar. I must have tapped into that anointing. One time I flew into Cairo, and I'd missed my first flight because they canceled it. So my connection, the people that were supposed to come get me weren't there. And so, you know, I had a bunch of Arabic tracts with me. I mean, I had a lot of zeal, but not a lot of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I knew I wanted to pass out this literature, but, you know, I knew I would have been in trouble if they would have found it. So we got off the plane, and they were taking us through customs, and all of a sudden I noticed this one guy. He was a taxi driver, and he was looking for money, I'll be honest. But he says, hey, I got connections. And you know, that's a short version of the story. I had all my stuff in my bag, all my Arabic tracts about Jesus Christ, which would have been an insult towards Muhammad, which really got me in big trouble. Well, then here I am. He just takes me, and we walk right by customs. I'm looking at everybody else on the plane. They're tearing their bags apart. They're opening up everything, trying to find things. And here I am just walking through with a big old smile on my face. Glory to God, took me out, and I was able to do a little bit of evangelism in my own way. I started where I was at, and I trusted God that he would do the miraculous. Amen? And I thank God. I mean, granted, that guy, I mean, he got some kickback from the hotel. I knew the game, you know. But, you know, is this all good? We had a good time. And I was able to touch some lives. The next point I want to see today, I want to talk about a couple men of God, and they've went on to be with the Lord now. But the title of the Seven Mountains, I know some of you may have heard of this before, the Seven Mountains, and it's talking about influence. You know, years ago, it was probably in the 70s or 80s, I don't recall exactly when, But God spoke to two godly men, and there was other people he spoke to too, but I just want to mention these two. One of them was Lauren Cunningham of Youth with a Mission, and the other was Bill Bright of Campus Crusade. Now, I don't know about you, but if you ever heard of these two organizations, they just don't sit around and wait for things to happen. They go in and they make things happen. You know, Bill Bright goes into colleges and with Campus Crusade, and I think they call it Crew now. They've changed the name a little bit. But they would go in there and they would help kids in college, because I'll be honest, that, you know, them kids are being bombarded. I think we could have testimony from our two college students here about just what it's like in college today. You know, the liberal thought and the bias that's anti-God and anti, you know, the things of God. Well, they would have these in there, and they go in and see, and they would reach them. And then Youth with a Mission, catchy term, Lauren Cunningham's vision was he would grab a bunch of young people, because young people don't know enough to be scared. You know what I'm saying? He would grab these young people and he would send them to the mission field with missionaries, and they'd get involved. And so, you know, it's just a powerful thing. But see, these two people, you know, weren't the kind of people just sitting around in their prayer closet all the time, and I believe in the prayer closet. But, you know, they were doing something, so God knew that he could speak through them. And what he told them both at different times, but then they got together and they had lunch together, and they was able to, you know, compare notes. But God told them about the seven mountains. And see, what it was, it told them how the importance was for the kingdom of God to influence culture, our culture, the culture that we have today. And because culture, if we want to accept, see, our church has a culture. You know, sometimes, you know, the culture is good. Sometimes the culture isn't really exactly what we, you know, want it to be. So we have to change the culture. And so we do that in certain ways. We try to facilitate that and do things. I mean, just like with the church, I tried to, after this COVID-19 thing, I tried to reset and I changed just a few little things. I tweaked a couple things, you know, so that we could change maybe the culture here a little bit, so we could be more more outreach oriented and more building people up and into the things of God. Because culture shapes thinking and thinking shapes behavior. So it's important that we have that. Did you know that your family at home, you have a certain culture? And that culture is your, you know, your MO, your which is your method of operation, just how your family does business, you know. A culture might be, we're screamers, you know what I'm saying? You know, we just yell. You know, I know somebody, I was talking to them a couple years ago, and they got married and did something different, and it was kind of, you know, they'd raised in a screaming culture. And he says, yeah, I didn't know, after he had kids, he said, I didn't know we weren't supposed to yell at each other all the time. But they were raised in that culture. But his wife wasn't, and fortunately, you know, she was able to show him some different things, because we usually emulate what we was raised in. And we can turn it around, people. I'm not saying you don't have to raise your voice sometimes, but I'm just saying that's just one example. And another example is, you know, a culture might be a culture of fear. You know what I'm saying? You're afraid of what's coming around the corner. The idea of, you know, maybe your finances are going to run out. Maybe you was raised, you know, through a certain thing. And so just let your imagination just kind of go, and you can kind of, you know, locate your culture and see if it's the culture. And one of them might not be. It might be a fact of you might have an ungodly culture. You know, maybe the closest you get to God is you pray over the food. You know what I mean? And that's good. You need to pray over your food. But, you know, there's more opportunities out there of discipleship and doing a devotional and stuff with the kids. That's important. And I'll be honest, our family done a lot better when we would take time to do devotionals and we would pray together. So just that culture. And I kind of went off on a tangent here, but I'm going to come back now. So we actively need to be engaging in the culture that we have around us. Our community here has a certain culture. Now, what happens is that Christians, what we do is sometimes we have a tendency to limit ourselves, and it happens. You know, here's what I believe. Church, we cannot let the ideology of separation of church and state put us in a box, because that's what happens. The world says separation of church and state, separation of church and state, keep your mouth shut, stay in the church, only talk about God here. Don't go out there and try to leverage influence and change the culture. But see, that's what the world says, you know? And we need to turn that around. You know, I'm not saying we need to be obnoxious about it, but I'm just saying I'm not going to let the devil put me in a box and keep my mouth shut. Now, sometimes we Christians say some silly things, and I'm going to go into that here in a minute. Hopefully, I won't step on too many toes, but you know, I know the healer, amen, if he does that. So we're going to jump ahead here. I'm getting kind of bogged down on these rabbit trails. But I'm going to tell you about the seven spheres, amen. Seven spheres of influence in our culture. And this is what God spoke to these two godly men as well as some other people. The first one is church and ministries. And this is, you can use these for your own prayer time. Write these seven things down and you can pray over these different areas and see how God leads you. See, the church and ministries, we need to be in the business of building up, which is discipleship, and reaching out, which is evangelism. That's the two primary missions of the church. But the church has gotten into the entertainment ministry. You know what I'm saying? Where we have to entertain people to make them happy so they keep coming back. You know, that's unfortunate. Because then we're taken out of our mission, which is build up and go out. Build up and go out. You know what I'm saying? We need to do that. The second one is family and marriages. The first attack, you know, in the Bible came against the family, against the husband and wife. You know, when Satan tempted the wife, and the husband entered in. So family and marriages, we need to pray for them and we need to be better influencers in that. To me, it's not like this all the time, but at home and in a family, it needs to be a place of security and safety. Security and safety. That should be a place where our kids feel safe and secure and our husbands and our wives feel safe and secure, where they know they can come there and it's a place to go. It's not a place to want to escape from. You know, it needs to be a place of teaching and nurturing in that environment. You know, I know there's going to be some swords crossed every now and then because, you know, you got the kids growing up and, you know, there's a lot of influences coming out of the world. So, you know, how you negotiate through that, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes. But also it needs to be a place of replication. And it is, no matter how we want to do it, say it or not. Our family, our kids replicate what we teach them. You know what I'm saying? What they see us doing. Not all of a sudden, like I mentioned earlier, not all everything that we say, but they'll follow what we do. And so we need to kind of turn that around. The third area of influence is the area of education, which is schools and universities. And this is where we, as a culture and as a Christian culture and church, we have allowed evil to take over in a large part. You know, I am not against free thought, where people can believe not the way that I do, but I will say this, you know, I think it needs to be a level playing field. I have no problem putting my trust in God and the Holy Ghost, you know what I mean, going into those universities and touching kids' hearts, because I know that I know that I know that, that God's going to touch them. Amen. No, but they kick them out. They don't want, you know, free thought, you know, and they want to just label it a certain way. And we could go off on that a long time. But see, we can't allow a secular mindset to poison our children's minds. That's why we need to be involved, parents. Hey, how was school today? What did you learn? You might be shocked at some of the things that they say, because I hear kids say it here at church. You know, some of the things that they were said. Now, for the most part, we have a nice school system here. You know, for the most part, I believe that. But nevertheless, you know, there's still some areas that we need to be prudent in as Christians to want to guard our kids' hearts and do that. Number four is business in the marketplace. You know, we need fairness in the marketplace. We need Christians there. You know, the Bible talks about, especially in the Old Testament a lot, about unjust weights. You know what I mean? What they would have is they would have certain stones or certain pieces of metal that if somebody bought, let's say, a pound of goods, they would put the pound weight on there and then they'd put all the grain in and then it would weigh when it was even, then they would take it. Well, what would happen is some of the merchants who were less than ethical, they would have maybe a lighter weight. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's only 3/4 of a pound. And so they would put that on there and then they put it on. Well, they're cheating you out a 1/4 pound every time. And see, that's what happens sometimes when sinners, because sinners are usually greedy, sometimes, not all, but sometimes they are. They want to get all they can all they get, and then set on their can, right? I mean, that's their goal in life. They want to make, and I'm not opposed to you making all you can, but you want to make sure that it don't take control of you. And see, also, what I've found in life, and maybe you have too, is, you know, God uses sometimes godly businessmen to fund the gospel. You know, God blesses certain people financially in a great way, and they can use that money to be able to sow into the kingdom of God. You know, God warns us about not building a bigger barn and just trying to hoard. You know, there's okay to have a savings account and all these things, but I believe that God blesses us financially a lot of times so that we can make a greater impact. You know, number five is the government. You know, we could spend a little time here, both local and national. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. How important is it to have them ethics? You know, the Bible also says we need to humble ourselves and pray. And if we do that, God will heal our land. Now, whether secularists want to accept it or not, our country was founded on Christian principles. It's all through history. That's why they're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to get it out of the textbooks, to take out those things because they don't want to cement. There it is, separation of church and state again. You know, I don't want the state controlling the church. And I'll be honest, I don't want the church controlling the state, where it's by control like it was in England. But I do want Christians in government making decisions according to God's word. I do believe that. I believe that's God's best. You know, and how our country was founded, they wanted freedom, they wanted all these different things, and you know, it's just awesome to see. Now what happens to us, and I think we've all probably succumbed to this problem, is that some Christians only see left and right when we should be seeing God and Satan. That's what happens. We see left and right, Republican, Democrat, when, you know, that, and if that's how we start to flow, I'm not, you know, I believe a certain way, I'm in a certain camp, but I'll tell you what, it gets dangerous. We limit our influence if we go too far that way, and I'm going to go into that a little more in a minute. Number six is media, press, television, and internet. A lot of ungodly people choosing what we see and hear. I'll be honest, I've kind of fasted the news this year so far. I used to get up and really tap into a certain station, and you know, before I know it, I'd be there an hour or so. But I've done something different. I went to my prayer closet, and I'm getting a lot different information right now. You know what I'm saying? I still kind of check in every little bit and just kind of check later in the day, but I don't let that control me because, you know, whether we want to accept it or not, them stations tell us what to think. They do. They pick the news stories that they want us to hear. There's a lot of things going on in the world. But certain stations have a certain flow, and they only show us a certain thing. And that's dangerous. We need to pray for that. We need to have influence there. We need to pray that godly people will go into those businesses. Now, I'm just going to throw this out because it's fun. You know, getting mad at people on Facebook probably isn't going to change the world. Have you ever figured that out yet? You know, getting mad at somebody on Facebook has not changed one probably mindset on anybody. It probably usually does the other thing. They usually dig in. And then lastly, which we probably know, is the arts, entertainment, and sports. You know, we need role models in those areas. So those are all things we can do. We need to get a plan. These two godly men, God revealed it to them. Those are areas of influence in our culture that you and I need to exercise, you know, some responsibility in, and some authority in, to go into those areas and try to make a difference. Yeah, it's going to be incremental a lot of times. Sometimes it'll be big. A lot of times it's going to be step by step. We go in there, but we all can still just pray, looking for ways that you and I can to affect change, you know, in those areas. My last point today I like to talk about our heart, the heart of an influencer. And that's very important, that we have the right motives in our life. The Bible says in Matthew, it says that we're supposed to be shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's how we're supposed to be in this world. The world is a dangerous place. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not afraid to go out. I'm not afraid of the dark because I have light. But I do know this, we don't want to be naive. And so we need to be aware of how we need to operate in this world. And it says we're to be shrewd. That means we're supposed to, you know, kind of make sure we understand what we're getting into, but yet we keep that harmless attitude. And to me, we have to understand, because sometimes people use influence as manipulation, can't they? But there's a difference between influence and manipulation. And how I tell the difference, number one, and number two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and 10, is the fact that, are we doing it to benefit ourselves, or are we doing it to benefit God's kingdom? And see, if it's self, we got to be careful. We're heading into manipulation. We need to be careful of that. So it's not about control. It's about being responsible. And like I say, we can use our powers for good, not evil. And are we adding value, or are we taking value away from somebody's life? Why are we saying, or why are we doing what we do? And that's very important. Are we building them up or tearing them down? That's important that we settle that, you know, in our heart. Next, we need to have discernment, okay? Now, what we do and say is very important. It has impact. I kind of see it as the ripple effect, okay? Have you ever taken a big rock and thrown it into the pond? I used to do it when people were fishing. They hated that. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done that? But you throw that big rock out there, kablunk. Well, that just that kablunk isn't the only thing, is it? What happens is ripple effect. It goes out in all directions. And it makes little waves. And see, that's why you and I have to have discernment about what we're saying and what we're doing and the responsibility that we have that. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. To me, the opposite is, if you don't win souls, you're not wise, but I don't want to go there. Are we wanting to win souls or win the argument? I mean, that's a question God asks me every now and then. I'm a pretty good debater. You know, I can debate with the best of them. But do I want to win the argument, or am I wanting to win the soul? And that's important. If you want to be an influencer for the kingdom of God, we have to answer that question. And I'm going in a little deeper waters. To me, it's something God's laid on my heart. I really want to maybe preach on this sometime. But we as Christians, we need to weigh our rights versus our responsibility. Okay? What that's meaning is that we need to weigh our rights as an American versus our responsibility as a Christian. Okay? You know, we're Americans here. Amen? Amen. And, you know, I thank God for it. I've used it overseas. You know, Paul used his Roman citizenship every now and then to his benefit. You know, I use my American passport also. I thank God I'm an American. Amen. You know, I believe I was born in the greatest country, you know, so far that's been created. Amen. But we have our problems, don't we, people? And those are things we need to be careful of. If you and I exercise our rights as an American, there's a good chance we're going to alienate 50% of the people we as Christians are responsible to reach. I'm just saying, weigh it out. I'm not saying give up your rights. I'm just saying, we as believers, once you start to walk in a different level of maturity, you know what I'm saying? Once you stay out of the baby pool, the kids pee in the baby pool. Don't stay in the baby pool. You know what I'm saying? Get out of the baby pool. Let's start heading into the deeper water, okay? We need to go there. That's where it's better out there, believe me. We need to weigh our rights versus our responsibility. If you want to be an influencer, I mean, if you want to soar instead of settle, this is a question you have to answer. Because are we wanting to win the soul, or are we wanting to win the argument? You know what I mean? And it's important that we come to the conclusion that God has called us, that we want to bring people into the kingdom and not repel them. And I know God's had to deal with me in a lot of areas, so I'm just passing it on. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just sharing the wealth. You know, and if, and it's, I've learned a lot about myself a little bit. You know, I found out, are we an American Christian, or am I a Christian American? Which is more important? Now, I'm not saying we need to exercise our rights of free speech and all that. So don't think I'm just shutting everything down. But I am telling us, we need to be discerning. You know, that's why we need to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, to post or not to post. Amen? That is the question. You know, not everything we post, it may feel good to the flesh, but I'll be honest, it grieves the spirit. So we need to be aware of those things on what we want to do. Lastly, you know, a heart of an influencer has to have an identity, a good identity in Christ. You know, we all, like I mentioned, have a level of influence. Maybe you're not a big social media person and you go out there and you post a lot of things. Maybe you're just, you know, feel like you just stick to your own home and but you're still responsible for a couple, three kids, you know what I'm saying, or even just one kid. That's still important, the influence that you make on that one life. You know, and then God will use you more. And this is not an advertisement for Sunday school teachers, but why not? You know what I'm saying? You know, if you want to make a difference in the world, Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham saw the vision of changing the next generation people. That's why our vision, we always come back to it, prepare the next generation for ministry. Yes, it's hard. It's hard sometimes because we only have them for a little bit. But if we keep sowing that seed, I know the seed that was sown in my heart down there in La Villa, Iowa, in that little Sunday school room when I was young, it took hold. And it brought me through those dark times. And I'm an influencer for the kingdom of God now. Amen. So you don't really know the impact you're going to make on another life. But we need to be mindful. We need to be intentional. You know, I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. I'm not looking, yeah, there's some, if I really looked at some people, oh, they don't deserve to go. But who am I to say that? God, let God be the judge. We're to be an influencer. So we do that, you know, we get better when we choose to make others better, and then we all get better. So let's be a positive force in the world. As we live out our faith, we should be desiring to enlarge our borders of influence and choose not to settle but soar and let God have his way. Catch a vision for more. Amen? Let's pray. Abba, Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the stirring of your spirit in each of our hearts today. The Lord, we know that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, I thank you for the born-again experience. Lord, help us come to the place in our life that we want to soar and not settle. First, I just want to ask, I want to make sure, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, or if you have and you know you need to reconsecrate or rededicate your life, I want to give you that opportunity. I don't want you to leave this place not knowing for sure. Amen. Also, we get an opportunity today with every head bowed and eye closed. If you feel that God, you know that God has more for you and that you want to influence more, you want to enlarge your border of influence for the kingdom of God, slip up your hand and put it down. We're going to pray. Amen. 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 Father God, I thank you for a special stirring in each person who raised their hand, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're going to use them in a godly and mighty way. Lord, stir in their heart to want more of you. Help them to want to go deeper, to get in over their head, and Lord, to trust you by faith. And Lord, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.